looking forward to our second session with you.
Sure, huh?
So, just to recap briefly, last time we were together, you introduced the theme, Kiriji introduced the theme of the impasse of modernity, and he introduced it by referring to a passage from the Life Divine, last chapter, The Divine Life, which I have circulated to all the participants so that they could look at it and reflect on it. In this passage, Sri Aurobindo gives a sweeping overview of the history of civilization from the early stage in sort of Hellenic civilization right up to the modern curve of reason in which we find ourselves. And he ends that passage with the present prognosis, which is that of a new kind of barbarism in which we find ourselves, finally raising the specter of the possibility of evolutionary failure. Kiriji dealt with this passage at length last time, and he also introduced the idea that it is really the work of Mother and Sri Aurobindo that has averted, in his belief, this evolutionary failure that is being referred to. But that does not mean that there is any lack of danger and difficulty in our present time. It is not a time for us to rejoice, as the mother says somewhere. So with those words, I will pass it on to Kiriji to continue his exploration and for us to share with him.
Thank you, Debashish. You have done marvelously well in summarizing what I was saying last time. I shall continue the theme, and I want to suggest that we try to make to ourselves more precise what exactly is the impasse. What that impasse means to our human effort, and how we can be benefited, the whole humanity can be benefited for its upward evolution by the tremendous work that has been accomplished by Sri Aurobindo and the mother. I shall first of all make only a short statement by pointing out that three factors have joined together to produce the present impasse. One is the tremendous development of science and technology, with the resultant development of huge structures of organization. This has happened. And the multiplication of this hugeness is still in view. And we shall come back to this point very shortly. The second is that reason, of which science is a product, which has developed so far, finds itself to move forward. If the reason were able to race properly, the situation would have been different. But reason is unable to move fast enough. What this means, we shall again try to become more precise very shortly. And third is the emergence of the overwhelming preference for the realization of the economic aim of life. It is these three factors coming together that have caused the jam. And as I said last time, although this jam has been broken by Herculean
efforts. Sorry to interrupt you, Kirti. What was the first one?
Pardon? First one is the development of science.
What was the first?
First factor is the development of science and technology and resultant hugeness of structures of organization. This is the first factor. Is it all right? Have you been able to hear?
Yes. Thank you.
These three factors have come together, and as I said, Sri Aurobindo, the mother, have worked out a solution. And one of the aims of this exploration is to understand this tremendous work that Sri Aurobindo and the mother have accomplished. But at the moment, I'm still dwelling upon this impasse so that we understand quite well, particularly because although the work, as I said, which Sri Aurobindo and mother have accomplished is done, the future is still full of perils. And we are passing through a perilous time. And if you do not understand the impasse which still continues to press upon all of us, even though at the end of the tunnel the blockade has been broken, but still we are passing through the tunnel, and we also need to cross many hurdles and many perils. So it is inevitable that we must understand what is this impasse which has been broken, and yet it is still strangulating all of us. And we all are struggling to come out of it. We also need to resolve in our own way. And that is why we need to understand these exact factors which are in the loop, you might say, of the impasse. Now, the hugeness of the structures does not require a long argument. It is right before us. Even the machine that we are using today, as a result of which we are able to converse with each other in spite of long distances, is one of the examples of this hugeness of the structure that is organized. In this connection, I will only refer to one very interesting book that I have come across just a few days ago, and I thought I'll just bring it to your notice and read out to you a few portions of this book. It is called The Singularity is Near. This is the title. The Singularity is Near. It is written by Ray Kurzweil. He is one of the foremost futurists of our times. And when you read a little biodata of this great futurist, it is, this whole biodata reads like an amazing achievement for a human being to have achieved. In fact, Bill Gates has spoken of him in glowing terms, and there are many others who have acknowledged the merits of this great book. It has been published in 2005, and I'm sure in America it must be more easily available. A good friend of mine has just recently sent me a copy of it, and I happened to read a few pages, but even these few pages that I've read are very stimulating, and I thought it would be a good idea to share with you one or two important ideas which have been worked upon in this book. First of all, the subtitle of the book is When Humans Transcend Biology. And it's a very significant statement, because biology at present concerns the physiology and biological functions of our body, and of which life and death are very important phases. And transcending biology would mean transcending many limitations that our biological existence is confronted with. The circulation of blood, for example, the dependence upon breathing, dependence upon food, and the necessity of death. And these are very important concepts which are relevant also for the theme that we are going to discuss at length in due course of time. He speaks of six epochs right from the time that evolution started. And he believes that we are now in the sixth epoch. And this epoch is what he calls Let Us Wake Up. The world wakes up. Even this title is also very interesting, and he points out that this epoch will achieve by reorganizing matter and energy to provide an optimal level of computation to spread out from its origin on Earth. This book abounds with facts and figures and diagrams and graphs. And they're all very interesting. And when you find time, if you find time and if you feel inclined, you may like to have a look at this book. And maybe that sometime Debashish also may like to speak on this subject, because this is also a part of his own specialty. So I leave at this moment this particular book. I just wanted to share with you that this book points out the possibilities of tremendous development of the hugeness of the structures that are being built up in our own times. Actually, he believes that a time is not very, very far off when human brain can produce a machine which will be super brain, and then super brain will, on the contrary, affect our biological development. it is a kind of a statement illustrating McLuhan's statement, who said that we make tools and then tools make us. Well, I am not going to discuss this book nor its thesis.
Contempt.
So this is the first point that I would like to make, that there is a hugeness of structure, and I would like to underline it. The question is, how are we going to deal with this structure? How are we going to deal even with the increasing development of hugeness of the structure? And as I said, it would have been much better and much easier if the highest instrument of human consciousness, namely reason, were able to aid in our task, and that is not happening. And apart from this important instrument which you call reason, there is another factor in human consciousness to which we must pay due attention. And many writers who speak of the future, they do not take into account this important factor on which Sri Aurobindo has dwelt at length. And that is a factor of the ego of the man. What is ego? What is the role that ego plays in the development of evolution? As Sri Aurobindo said at one time, ego is the helper and ego is the bar. And we know that ego has been a helper. All psychologists will agree with that statement. But we do not realize that one of the most important factors that is blocking the way to a future development and the way by which our dangers can be minimized is to lead our own development to such a point where ego reaches a vanishing point. I do not know if you remarked at one time in the Life Divine, Sri Aurobindo has, this is in volume number 18, and this is in chapter number 2, Life Divine, chapter number 2, the two negations, the materialist denial, where also Sri Aurobindo speaks of the development of hugeness of structures of organization. And what he has said there is extremely significant. And we must remember that Sri Aurobindo wrote this in 1914-1915. And at that time, how he had perceived the development of the future, an immediate future, and how prophetic these words are. And let me read out to you this particular passage from the Life Divine. This is on page number 15 in the 1971 edition, that is centenary edition. Sri Aurobindo says, as the outposts of scientific knowledge come more and more to be set on the borders that divide the material from the immaterial, so also the highest achievements of practical science are those which tend to simplify and reduce to the vanishing point the machinery by which the greatest effects are produced. Wireless telegraphy is nature's exterior sign and pretext for a new orientation, the sensible physical means for the intermediate transmission of the physical force is removed. It is only preserved at the points of impulsion and reception. Eventually, even these must disappear, for when the laws and forces of the supraphysical are studied with the right starting point, the means will infallibly be found for mind directly to seize on the physical energy and speed it accurately upon its errand. There, once we bring ourselves to recognize it, lie the gates that open upon the enormous vistas of the future.